Always a pleasure when we get to say hello to our good friend Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing good. I hope you're doing good, John, Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Big thumbs up. Opening day for Major League Baseball. We've got four teams left in March Madness, so there's a lot to enjoy at this point in time, but it's the first full week of spring practice, and we've been able to hear from two groups of players as well as three assistant coaches. What's it been like to get to ask questions and find out what the transition has been like for those that were a part of the team last year and now are being coached by a new staff?
Well, I mean, obviously you want to try to gather as much as you can, and it's interesting to hear player reaction to kind of what the start of spring ball has been, and I'd certainly get an update from the assistant coaches on kind of where, you know, things are to this point. We've had an opportunity to speak with Coach Banks and speak with Coach Golish, and the takeaway from both those guys, I think, was pretty simple and pretty clear that you know, they're trying to get as much confidence going with this team as they can, trying to make the transition and adjustment as smooth as possible, even taking it a little slower in terms of installation if they need to. To get this thing going in the right direction. And the players seem to like the tempo at this point. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it is a marathon, not a sprint, but it's certainly nice to hear about the marathon from a variety of different voices at this point. And we'll see what Josh Heupel has to say about things tomorrow afternoon when we get a chance to talk to him.
Brent, we heard Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, talking about looking at players at different positions, haven't decided whether Tyler Barron's going to be a full-time defensive lineman or work as a hybrid, looking probably at other spots. I would think that's a natural that you're trying to do to try to figure out who fits in best at what position on defense, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, this is a staff that's been assembled less than 45 days, and so that they've had, you know, just a handful of weeks to try to figure out exactly what they have, put their own system in, and then try to figure out where guys fit into their system best compared to the system that they previously played in. And this system is going to be different. So I don't think that they're going to make a bunch of, daily, or weekly crazy position changes. I think they're going to do some full evaluations long term, meaning, multiple weeks, multiple practices, and then maybe look around at some guys in some different spots and trying to create some depth there as spring goes along. I think they're very mindful of not cluttering guys up to the point that they don't have confidence, or these guys are struggling with confidence, because I think it's important, in their opinion, for these guys to get off to a good start, to get some belief in each other, belief in the system, belief in themselves, and that way they can give themselves the opportunity to make the best evaluations. But, yeah, this is what spring practice is for. It's hard to believe there are a good number of players who have played a lot of football in a Tennessee uniform that are going through spring practice for the first time in their career.
Yeah.
And that's part of the development of this. And so for some of these guys, this is even foreign to them to go through spring practice. And I think you use this time, Jimmy, to try to figure out who fits in best where and how you need to adjust your system to fit your skill set or your talent the best that you can.
I would suspect Tennessee's going to run a lot of three wides, four wides, maybe five wides. How encouraging is it to hear Cody Burns, a receivers coach, talk about the progress made by Walker Merrill and Anderson Kobe? Because I think Tennessee is going to need to have a lot of receivers that they can count on.
Well, I think it's important. And he also, throw Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway into that mix as well. But, you're right. You got to have more than two or three. I think we clearly know that Bayless Jones and Jalen Hyatt are the top two receivers on this team. And then the question is, where's three, four, and five? And do tight ends factor into that? How do they factor into that schematically and all those things? But, there's no doubt you need depth. And, the encouragement, we mentioned a week ago that I thought Walker Merrill would be a name that you would hear some about, and I think you'll continue to hear about that. But they definitely need some development, and they definitely need some guys to emerge there beyond those top two. So, that's a positive start. I thought the offensive coaches, Jimmy, were a little more free giving, if you will, of compliments than maybe Tim Banks was. But we'll see where things are in another week and see what kind of production guys are given. But I don't think there's any doubt that both sides of the ball like to start, but particularly these offensive staff members really like the start of things so far.
If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's check in with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Brent and Jimmy, who else? Y'all mentioned the receiver, some of them by name, and other days you've mentioned people by name. Didn't they practice a little bit in pads Tuesday? And I never did find out how, wondering if there was any names put out there after that. By the coaches or somebody saying, so-and-so was looking good. You still
well,
there?
I mean,
Brent? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a situation where, they singled out. Coach Golish mentioned a bunch of names on Saturday. We mentioned some of the names that Cody Burns had mentioned. And I think you'll hear some of that, some positive things. I wouldn't get too caught up in, he mentioned this guy, what does that mean? He didn't mention this guy, what does that mean? Coach Banks was complimentary of guys, and I think that for all of them, and Coach Banks reminded everybody of this when he visited with the media, they're still figuring out what they have. And, I think there's certainly some guys are putting themselves in better situations. There are some guys who are benefiting from a fresh start with a new coaching staff, and we'll see where it goes from there. I think this defensive line is in better shape than they were at any point last year. I think they still have a ways to go, but I think they've gotten themselves in better shape, and we'll see. Trayvon Flowers spoke highly of this defensive system, but he's got to go out and make plays and go out and play the ball better in the air and all of those things. So I think, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. There's some guys who have done some good things and practiced hard and showed a real energy level and effort level that pleases this coaching staff. And we'll see how they progress in this system as they continue to learn it on both sides of the ball.
Well, okay. Well, guys, I was hearing somebody earlier today on a sports show.
Mm-hmm.
He was being interviewed, and he made it sound like gloom and gloom for the future of the Vols for quite a few years. And so we'll see how it goes. But I just, there's so many things that are not good. But who knows? Maybe we'll get out there next season and knock off somebody we're not supposed to.
Well, one thing's for certain, we've seen it be that way.
Okay, guys, thanks.
We sure do appreciate it, Steve. A question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900 is how you join us. Let's say hello to Jeff. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. First of all, Brent, I want to congratulate your son for doing, I believe it was wrestling. They did well in one. Congratulations for that. Having a child we went to Murfreesboro. But anyway, just real quick question on both football and basketball side. Is there any movement right now in the transfer portal to Tennessee from either the football or basketball side that you could kind of report on?
Not any movement other than some phone calls, that are taking place, which you would expect. That's a situation where right now I don't, both those programs are going to be looking and continuing to look for and try to find, the right fit. Basketball, I believe, is looking for a shooter, a big man as well, but I think they'd like to have a shooter for sure. We'll see kind of what they can find out there, what they can't find. I know that they've been working the phones, but you have unusual situations. Like you had the kid from Indiana Parker Stewart, who everybody was all fired up about because he hops in the portal. He's a shooter, can score, and Tennessee's got some ties and could be involved there, and some other schools got a chance to be involved there, and then, you know, he pulls himself out of the portal. And so it's one of those deals where it's always fluid, always changing. Tennessee's definitely going to make some hay in the basketball transfer portal. They're gonna get one or two, maybe even more, but I think at least a couple of guys. Who that's going to be, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I think you'll see some more guys go into the portal, even though I think there's something like 1,300 basketball players in the portal right now. I think you'll see that number continue to grow. On the football side of things, you know, I think Tennessee's talking, has talked to a few people, continues to talk to a few people. I think their priorities in the football transfer portal may change a little bit depending on what they find this spring practice. You know, for example, do they come out of the spring practice feeling like they desperately need to find another quarterback? I don't think so, but could they? Do they come out of there and go, you know what, we don't need a linebacker as bad as we thought, or we need one even more than we thought? Same thing for rush in or an offensive tackle. So I think that's a continued evaluation process on the football side. You know, Texas had their linebacker go in the portal yesterday, their leading tackler from a year ago. Would he be on Tennessee's radar? Absolutely. Does he have any interest in Tennessee? I don't know at this point, but certainly Tennessee will reach out there and see if he has any interest because they do need help at linebacker.
Okay, great. I was curious, and then John, I think you and Heather may have vexed mine and Josh's phrase. So I just wanted to come at you with that. Okay.
Well, the thing is, my powers have been far-reaching, but maybe it'll circle back around and be a good thing.
When the Braves are concerned, over the last 25 years, I've learned there's nothing is a good thing.
Maybe it'll surprise everybody this year. But goodness gracious, they're fun to watch.
They are. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, sure do appreciate it. And Jimmy, the one thing that we found out with that Braves bullpen historically is that it's never boring.
Yeah, you could probably say that about several bullpens out there, couldn't you?
Very, very true. Very, very true. And Brent, something you said a little while ago is still worth noting, and that is Josh Heupel's got some decisions to make in terms of, we don't know what Tennessee's going to be hit with in terms of penalties. So if indeed there was a scholarship reduction for any reason, there's something that you might set aside for that, or do you take what could be a year that is probation this year and keep any available scholarships that could come open to next year when you have such a good class in the state of Tennessee as well as across the country? So don't know exactly what Coach is going to do in terms of looking at the present as opposed to the very near future.
Oh, absolutely. And again, those are just, I mean, you got a lot of decisions to make and a lot of things to sort through. Where do you think you are with the NCAA? When do you think you will get an answer from them on something? What is your self-imposement going to be? Where do you think you are with this current class in state? Are you going to have a chance to make up ground, or is that unrealistic on some guys? You know, there's a lot of decisions that are going to be made over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks in terms of how you handle your numbers. I mean, look, you may come out of spring practice here and you may feel like you need to part ways with some guys as well. So your numbers may look totally different moving forward. There's just a lot of unknowns right now that, you know, it's not, you don't just go out and grab the first guy in the portal because some guy's in the portal. And that's not what the caller was suggesting. I'm not saying that at all, but I think that's what some people view as the portal. But you're trying to manage what's best for this current team. What's the need? How big of a help is it going to be? Is it worth a scholarship? Is it not worth a scholarship? Do you want to hold that spot for the future? Do you need to hold that spot for, you know, pending NCAA punishment? Just a lot of things to address there. And then on top of that, I think the month of June is going to be as chaotic in recruiting as we've ever seen a month in recruiting. And that goes back to the old days of the single, you know, recruiting date or signing day in, you know, January, bringing in 20 guys on an official visit weekend and all the chaos that it is with that. This June is going to be absolutely wild if they open it back up. You're going to have official visits. You're going to have camps. You're going to have unofficial visits. And every kid in the country is setting on go to go visit somewhere because they've not had the opportunity to do so in over a year. And so how do you manage that? All of those things are part of the coach's decisions moving forward. Do you feel like you need to use a bunch of officials in June? If you don't use them on some guys, will you get a chance to get visits from those guys? All of that stuff comes into play when you haven't even been out and evaluated these guys face-to-face. So going to be wild. I mean, absolutely wild in the month of June. Just going to be crazy to watch.
If you have a question or comment for Brent Hubbs, 656-9900, 656-9900. *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Among the many things you'll find at VolQuest.com these days is a link to a story that national recruiting analyst Sam Spiegelman put together. Brent talks about Josh Heupel in Tennessee having interest in Arch Manning. Do you think there's anybody that could put them in contact with the young man?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of familiarity there for sure. Unfortunately for Tennessee, they're not the only school in the country that has interest in Arch Manning. And unfortunately for Tennessee, they're not the only school in the country that can use somebody in the Manning family to get in touch with Arch Manning. So yeah. I don't know that Tennessee has a huge leg up in that category at all. But, you know, it's going to be a fascinating recruitment because it's, you know, it's the name. There's so much talk about Arch Manning out there already. Tennessee certainly doing everything they can to be in play there. So is Ole Miss. All these other people, you know, the Manning family, even Cooper, Arch's dad, has some pretty good ties to Danny White. I don't think that's going to affect the recruiting process for Arch Manning, but, you know, there's even a tie there that those two guys know each other separate from kind of the football Mannings knowing each other. I think Cooper and Danny White have a pretty good friendship and pretty good relationship there as well. So, going to be high profile, going to be talked about, going to be scrutinized and discussed ad nauseum, and going to have every option under the sun. We know Texas is going to be a player there. I think Ole Miss will be a player there if Jeff Lebby's, you know, at Ole Miss. I think he likes Jeff Lebby. And certainly I think Tennessee's going to be a factor in there as well. So we'll see where Arch Manning elects to go with it, but he's going to be covered more than anybody's been covered in a long time. And that's saying something.
We go back to the phones where it's Chuck who's up next. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, hello, John and Jimmy. I hope you guys are doing good. Brent, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better. I want to ask you something. A friend of mine lives down in Middle Tennessee. He said that he was a defensive lineman down there in high school, said he's the best football player that's come out of the state of Tennessee in about the last 10 or 12 years. They said he already looks like Reggie White, but I forget what his name is. But they said he was ranked in the top three in the nation. I wonder if Tennessee is recruiting that guy. He said that Tennessee was in his top 10. And I hope everybody does good and has a good day. And I appreciate your time, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Chuck, yeah, you're talking about Chuck, you're talking about Walter Nolan, who's from out West Tennessee, actually originally from Mississippi. He plays for Marlon Walls out in Memphis, a longtime friend of Marlon's. Marlon has coached him for several years, and he plays for him out there. Tennessee's going to make his top eight. I think Tennessee will probably ultimately end up being in his top five. Rodney Garner's working feverishly there, talking to him as often as he can. Jerry Mack, who's got Memphis in recruiting, is working that as well. And obviously Marlon's got plenty of ties to Tennessee. Clemson's going to be in that. LSU's in that. I think Georgia will be in that. Alabama will certainly be in that as well. You know, he's not visited Tennessee. He's never seen Tennessee's campus. Even though he plays in the state of Tennessee, he's from Mississippi. He's never been on Tennessee's campus. So getting him to campus is a big deal if they can get him here for a visit and let him see things. But Tennessee's certainly in an uphill battle there for him. I think it would be an upset if they were to land him. But Tennessee's going to swing all the way to the finish line for sure.
Chuck, we do appreciate the call. Let's go next to Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Hey, Doug.
Two things. I told Sam there. Did y'all mention that Jackie Pope died this week?
I did not.
No,
oh,
have
yeah,
not.
Yeah. Well, you know, y'all had him on your show one time. He made the Tennessee Hall of Fame.
That's
and
correct.
I saw him play, show my age here, I saw him play twice in the late 50s for Oak Ridge against Chattanooga Central. And if I'm not mistaken, he averaged, I think, 17 yards a carry his last season. And of course, fortunately, for one time, we were running the single wing, so we got him. But I could only imagine what if Brent and his people would have been around there back in the 50s, the hubbub that would have been around surrounding Jackie in Oak Ridge, because he was really a player. But the only thing was he was kind of small. Mm-hmm. But he was a real player. Played, I think he actually lettered one year at UT and went to either Tennessee Tech or East Tennessee. But he was a great player. And while I was on hold, you mentioned Arch Manning. You know, my friend that plays golf with Peyton at the Honors Course, he said we have a realistic shot at him. He said, as Brent mentioned, I don't know how Peyton and Danny White got to be such good friends, and they really like Josh. And he said the one thing that would really help would be, what's the guy at Ole Miss, Brent? You mentioned the offensive coordinator, Nebby or
Levy. Coach Levy. Yeah.
Yeah. He said if Levy would get a head coaching job, that would really help. But he said we'll realistically have a shot at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee's certainly in it. I'm going to get a visit with him. He likes Sarkisian at Texas. Jeff Lebby, I think he's a fan of Jeff Lebby's. I don't know that he would go play for Lebby, you know, if Lebby were a head coach, because I don't know that Lebby's going to get a SEC job or a Power 5 job as his first head coaching job. He does like Josh Heupel. I think he likes the offense. And, again, you know, the Mannings know the White family. Again, Cooper knows Danny. You know, Peyton has met, you know, Danny's father many times at Duke, and you know, there's some common, you know, friends there and relationships there that you know, doesn't work and doesn't go against Tennessee in any way, shape, or form. We all know this. We know Peyton. Peyton's going to handle this, and Cooper's going to handle this the way Archie handled this with their son.
Sure,
he's going to get out of the. They're going to get out of the way, and it'll be Archie's decision on where Archie wants to go. And they'll support him in any way, shape, or form. I know that there was probation involved when Peyton, you know, chose Tennessee over Ole Miss. But, Jimmy, I mean, that the scrutiny that Archie Manning took for allowing his son to do that was really, really crazy in Oxford. There were a lot of people in Oxford that kind of disassociated themselves with Archie and were mad at Archie. I don't know that some of them have ever gotten over it. And Archie didn't care because Archie was going to let Peyton do what Peyton wanted to do and go where he wanted to go, and that'll be the way that the Manning family handles it with Arch Manning as well.
I remember Archie Manning telling me the story about how he was stopped at a gas station in Mississippi and somebody just reamed into him. And it was like, you know what, there are more important things in life than all this. But Archie did not look greatly pleased if you looked at him during Peyton's announcement, because I think he knew what was coming. But, Brent, to your point, he got out of the way. I think he knew that he was going to catch some flack, but he was not going to step in and make the decision for Peyton.
Right. No,
one other question
not.
I'll get off.
And that'll be the same way here.
Mm-hmm. One other question I'll get off. Any leading candidates for the North Carolina job? And enjoy the show, guys. See ya.
Sure do appreciate it, Doug.
I don't know about leading candidates, but I think the one name you're going to hear pretty prevalent is Hubert Davis. And, you know, we'll see if that's the direction they end up going. But I think there's going to be a ton of speculation that Hubert Davis is going to end up with that job when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I saw odds of that. Hubert Davis, Wes Miller, Jerry Stackhouse, Mark Turgeon, and Mark Few. Those were some of the odds, top odds to get the job. Brandon, in terms of Tennessee basketball, obviously they need some help inside. Do you think whether or not Fulkerson returns impacts the player or players that they go for inside, or do you think they're going to look for inside presence regardless whether Fulkerson's back or not?
Well, I think they've got to have inside presence regardless of Fulkerson's return or not. They need a rim protector. Obviously, with Pons being gone as a shot blocker, they need somebody who can come in and guard the rim. When this team has been at their best defensively, they've had a rim protector like a Kyle Alexander, or even, you know, as the way Pons was for Tennessee. So I do think that they're going to go and get a big man who can protect the rim. You know, they'd like a big man who could score, obviously, but I do think from a defensive standpoint, having a rim protector is going to be important for them in the transfer portal. So I think they're going to go big man regardless, Jimmy. If Fulkerson's back, it probably means you worry a little bit less about scoring and more just about defense. But you're going to go get the best big man you can get who can protect the rim for you first, and then you can get some scoring out of him as well. And then on the perimeter, you got to go find a shooter. Somebody's got to be able to put the ball in the basket from the outside for this team consistently.
Do you think there's a chance they'd go after a second point guard since they have Kennedy Chandler?
No, I mean, I think that anything, I guess, is possible, Jimmy. But I think more importantly on the perimeter, it's about score. It's about somebody who can shoot the basketball from the outside and can put the ball in the basket and score for this team. So, now, you know, you're going to take three transfers. You're going to take four transfers. I don't know how many you're going to end up taking. If you're going to take more than two, you know, then certainly I think you can talk about bringing in a second big man, or you could bring in a second point guard, or whatever. But I think if you're talking about the top two priorities, a big man who can protect the rim and a guy on the perimeter that can shoot the basketball is the top two priorities. Now, the question is, do they go deeper than that in terms of the transfer portal? And I think that largely depends on what's available out there, what's realistic. I don't think you take a guy just to take a guy for minutes. I mean, the guy's got to be able to make an impact for you. And, you know, they've taken a couple of transfers here that haven't made the impact that they need a transfer to make. And so they got to get these right, in my opinion, whether you're taking two, three, or four.
Get a question or comment in under the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And, Brent, you guys do a great job of connecting with those that Tennessee could be pursuing. And one of the things that really stood out, and you can't help but appreciate adaptability with the landscape being what it remains, what about Tennessee and a virtual junior day?
Well, that's what everybody's having to do, is you're having to get as creative as you possibly can. And Tennessee's doing some things to where some guys have opportunities to watch part of practice, or, you know, see a bit of practice and take it in, and can see exactly what's going on. And then obviously you can have follow-up conversations with guys after that about kind of what they saw. And, you know, this is such an important time in recruiting, not just for commits, but for kids to take their spring break in high school and to go out and to go to spring practices and to see coaches and to see how things, you know, go and work at a place, and just not having the opportunity to do that because of the NCAA rules right now makes it really hard. And when you're a new staff, you know, it makes it even more of a challenge, particularly if you're a newer staff that doesn't have a ton of SEC ties. Okay, and so there's a lot of unknowns about what this Tennessee offense is going to look like, and how does it work, and who does it really benefit, and how wide receiver friendly is it, and what do they want the quarterback to be able to do, and is it a good fit, and all of those things. And so anytime you get the opportunity to show guys some practice things, I think that Tennessee's trying to capitalize that on that in recruiting, whether it's a virtual junior day, so to speak, or whether it's this juiced video stuff that they're doing. All of that is just an ability to show guys some clips of what practice is like, what the system is like, to help further get them down the road in the recruiting process with some prospects.
It's you've of course got such a good staff that that gets the job done at VolQuest along with yourself. You've got Rob Lewis, who's been there forever, and Austin Price, Eric Kane doing a really good job. But I know you're also very pleased with what Ryan Shumpert has done for you for a little while now, and he's got a couple seasons under his belt, and he's doing a great job covering Tennessee baseball from your vantage point. The fact that you used to be around that program a lot. What is it like to see Tennessee up to number six and off to a 5-1 start in SEC play?
Well, it's exciting. I mean, you know, I don't care if LSU's maybe not the best LSU team that's walked the planet. You go and sweep LSU, you went and swept LSU. And for Tennessee to do that last weekend was just an amazing, you know, crazy weekend. And it's exciting. And, you know, LSU's coach today was pretty critical of Tennessee and how rowdy the fans were and how Tennessee approached some things. And, you know, I think that's good. It says that, you know, Tennessee's got everybody's attention. And I think they're getting everybody's attention by what they're doing on the field and what they're producing. And it's fun to see. I mean, when Tennessee baseball's going, it's a great sporting event to be at. And Tony Vitello and his staff have done a terrific job assembling that program and putting the culture in place. And Ryan Shumpert for us is doing a really good job covering that. We've expanded a couple things that he's doing with us as a part of our Friday preview. We've got a little podcast with him that's up on Fridays. We'll have that up tomorrow afternoon. Get you ready for Tennessee and Alabama. And then we're kind of wrapping up the weekend and looking ahead to the next week with a little video feature that we're doing on Sunday nights called Around the Horn. So just fun. You know, it's a nice element to, and a nice addition to coverage for the site that I think people are enjoying. And it's a credit to the work that Ryan has put in and continues to put in for us in covering baseball. And hopefully this team can go have some success this weekend against an Alabama team that I think Tennessee's certainly capable of going to Tuscaloosa and winning that series. And it's crazy to think, but you could be three series in with two of them on the road and two series wins, John. You don't do that in SEC baseball all the time. That'd be a great start for Tennessee.
It sure would, definitely. And why don't we go ahead and see if we can't work in a quick call from Larry. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Good. Thank you. Brent, you had an article on VolQuest last week that there was a kid named Tyreek Key that played at Indiana State the last 4 years. And I wondered if you had any information that Tennessee, how their interest level was on him.
Well, it's just another, I mean, that's a guy that there's, you know, again, I think right now you're in the full evaluation stage of all those guys, and you're trying to figure out what's realistic and what's realistic out there, that who you can get, who you can't get, who's the best fit for you, who's not the, you know, when you bring in transfers and you bring in guys like that, they can alter your locker room makeup. So you got to find guys who are the right fit in your locker room. Also guys who can come in and be productive. And so you got to be pretty careful in how you go about assembling those things. And you got to find out why guys are leaving programs and what's going on. And you got to do all your due diligence, regardless of the sport. And you want to make sure that somebody is the right fit for you. And I think that's what all these coaches are doing right now. And, there's plenty of options out there. The number of kids in the transfer portal, in all sports is really insane. The numbers have been high for years. They're higher than they've ever been. I don't know that they're going to slow down at any point in time, and it's going to create a lot of mass chaos out there for a lot of people. And we'll see how it all shakes out in the end. I think, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of kids really disappointed with what their options are, because they're probably not going to be as high or as many options as they thought they would be when they decided to go into the portals.
Larry, we appreciate the call. Brent, what's going on at VolQuest.com these days?
Well, we got 2-minute drill up from practice today with Austin Price and myself, and we've got our practice observations are on the board, on the message board, on the front page as well. Practice highlights are up. We've got more football coverage out there. We've got some recruiting coverage out there, and we'll have the War Room Borrow. Our mailbag podcast was up today. We'll have coverage from practice tomorrow, Coach Heupel tomorrow, baseball preview tomorrow, that podcast with Ryan Shumpert that I mentioned as well to get you ready for Tennessee and Alabama. We'll have recruiting coverage throughout the weekend as well. So plenty going on right now, plenty to talk about, plenty of things happening on the Hill, and we'll follow all of it and talk about it as best we can on the message board and on VolQuest. So it's a pretty good time to check us out right now.
Brent, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you. That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen.